This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We're going to cover every single team. It's an interesting weekend, needless to say.
Back to a full slate.
Yeah, we got some non-conference games of note. This Wake Forest Army thing, which we're going to talk about here momentarily, I think is intriguing as well. Deeks have coming off an open date, probably needed it to, number one, get healthy and also get ready for Army. So we're going to give you a little one stat per game as we go zipping all over the place here. Wake Forest, Demon Deeks, 6-0, 16th in the country. They enter week 7 of the college football season as one of just four, count them, four FBS programs to score 30 or more points in every game this season. Army, by the way, has given up 30 or more just once this season, and that was a win against Western Kentucky.
Well, good on good action, right?
Yes,
a little
sir.
Iron sharpens iron, man. I think, you know, first of all, we knew this Wake Forest offense was going to be great. I mean, coming into this season, I had no worries about that. Thought they would average 36, 37 points a game, and that's what they've been able to do. I mean, tremendous. The attack, the scheme, Coach Clawson and that staff, the things that they are able to do are just so impressive. And then the development of players. I mean, they're not getting these highly caliber four-star and five-star guys. They're taking the two-stars, the three-stars, and turning them in, you know, to these five-stars. The wide receiver core, fantastic pack. I think one of the best in the conference. And it really, look, when you look at these three ranked teams that the ACC has, a common denominator of all of them, receiving cores, ballers.
Yep. You know, the other thing, it's kind of an amazing week given the fact that all three service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, all three are hosting undefeated teams this weekend.
Yikes.
San Diego State goes to Air Force. Both those teams combined are 12-1. It's actually the best combination record-wise in the FBS this weekend. Cincinnati, who's been out of sight, number two in the country, goes to Navy. And here are the Demon Deeks, the Swiss, taking it up to New York, taking on Army. It's a really good game. And, you know, the other thing, I think it's kind of a scary game for Wake Forest. Coming off the open date, you know what's at stake in the league, and you're sitting here at 4-0 in a conference play. Life is good. But you take on an Army team, you know those guys are not going to quit. They're going to be tough for 60 minutes. The scheme is always a headache. You had an extra period of time to get ready for it with the open date. And you want to come out of this game healthy, right? You get games, you know this. You've gone up and heard the nightmares from a defensive standpoint.
Georgia Tech, year after year.
Forever and ever. It's like, man, you're banged up afterwards, and people are hitting you at the knees and everything else. You just want to get a W, get through the weekend without anybody getting nicked up, and then get ready for a stretch run and maybe a run to Charlotte for an ACC championship.
Yeah, and when you look at this Wake Forest team, I think if there's a team that you feel comfortable about not overlooking an opponent and then having the wherewithal to understand the assignment and to play assignment football, it's Wake Forest. You know, those guys are going to be ready. This coaching staff is going to have them ready. The fact that they had a bye week to prepare for the triple option, I think, is really instrumental in how this game is going to go. But, Pack, that is an offense that you can't really practice. Like, you can show a look on scout team, but you're not cutting your guys every play. And the speed in which it's going to be executed is going to be very different. So a huge key in this game for Wake Forest, play assignment football. If you're the defensive end and you have the quarterback, hit the quarterback. If you're the inside back or the D tackle, tackle the dive. Do your job over and over again. Because if you don't, if you try to play hero ball, they'll bust you wide open.
And here's the other thing. You talked about Dave Clawson. What a great job he's done at Wake Forest. Jeff Monken's done exactly the same thing at Army. These are two really excellent coaches. They don't beat themselves. I think it's a terrific game. And like I said, if you're a Wake Forest fan and you're thinking about the road trip, please go. You will come back and go, man, what an awesome trip. West Point is spectacular for all the right reasons. And, oh, by the way, a good football game is going to break out, too.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it. Very capable team offensively, a defense that's really shut people down. I mean, we saw them take it to the wire against Wisconsin a week ago, score 14, I believe, in the fourth quarter. So this is not a pushover game by any stretch of imagination. A little bit of a spooky game, I think.
Totally agree. The other non-conference game this weekend is UMass getting a nice check to get beat. They're going down to Tallahassee this week to see Florida State. And for the Noles, you know what, Eric? This is a team that you have seen marked improvement as the year has gone on. They've been flagged for five or few penalties in now three consecutive games. And the first time since 2006, the Noles have had five or fewer penalties in three consecutive games, all against Football Bowl subdivision opponents. That tells me coaching, discipline, guys are buying into it.
Yes, that is a huge sign of growth.
Yep.
I mean, there's a couple of different stats that you could maybe say, okay, this is a really good measurable. This was a turning point for our team. But that discipline to have this statistic with penalties is tremendous. Guys are listening. Guys are understanding when they had this come to Jesus meeting and coach said, we have guys in this locker room that need to step up. We have guys in this locker room that need to do the necessary things to win, and they've done that. This looks like a completely different team. Now, they need to continue to build on this and keep going. But as of right now, I mean, there was a time in this season where, you know, I kind of made the decision on the huddle. I'm not picking these guys for the rest of the year. I mean, I'm going to lose games. I'm going to lose to Coach Rick. And that they have completely turned it around. I like the offense. I like what we're seeing. We spoke about it earlier, those offense efficiency numbers. I think they have a really good opportunity to climb if they keep doing necessary to win the game.
You know, when they left Winston-Salem, six turnovers, not in the game. It just looked sloppy, yeah. Unorganized. Yes. Didn't know if they were dialed in. And you're thinking, man, this could really get ugly and out of hand. And to their credit, they're like, hey, we're better than this.
Right.
Right? We're better than this. And when you see, hey, we've eliminated sloppy penalties, they're running the football, they're keeping the quarterback upright, they've really done a nice job turning this thing around. Again, I totally expect them to win big tomorrow. And I expect Florida State to go into Death Valley on a three-game winning streak next week.
First time, 17. A lot of momentum going into that one.
All right, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. We talked about the inadequate offense that's going on in Blacksburg. Syracuse looking for a win, too. Syracuse and Virginia Tech have the number one and number two pass defenses in the ACC. And you know what? Those numbers, I think, are going to be just fine tomorrow, don't you?
This will be a great stat game for both of these teams to put a little bit of a dent there, because neither offense is going to want to throw the ball. Honestly, neither offense really can throw the ball outside of a couple of flashes that we saw. Clearly, Syracuse making some big home runs. But, yeah, it's going to be a quick game. It's going to be a lot of offensive run plays, I think, this weekend from these two teams.
Yeah, I think they'll play to their strengths, and it is hand the ball off and let's control.
Or you'd like to see that at least.
I think that's what you're going to get. Right. This could be a very quick game, too.
Yes,
this,
I agree.
This is not going to be one of those 3.5 hour, hey, there's still 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter games. Don't no think question. That's happening. Clemson-Pitt, we've talked about this game a bunch. We'll continue to do that with Sean McDonough coming up at the bottom of the hour. And two all-time games against Kenny Pickett in the 2018 ACC Championship game and the 2020 regular season game. Clemson has held Kenny Pickett to 26 of 55 passing.
Pack, I don't think there is a more irrelevant stat of the one stat per game than this right here. Now, I might eat these words, and I'll come on the show next week and say I'm sorry for saying that, but this is a different Kenny Pickett, and I don't think there's like a complex or anything of that nature. None of that matters. This is a different guy, a different offense that the Tigers are going to see.
And he's playing with such confidence. Great wide receiver core. And again, this is strength versus strength. Clemson defense, Pitt offense. Grab your popcorn.
That's right.
This is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a show. That's right.
It's going to be a good one. Boston College at Louisville. That's the game Mr. Durham is taking care of. Last season, the Cardinals allowed 2.8 sacks a ball game. 2.8. This season, huge improvement. They're allowing 1.33 per game, which is first in the ACC and 20th. Nationally.
Yeah, and you've seen why their offense is so much more effective. Now, I think a lot of this does have to do with Malik just being the special guy that he is, Cunningham right. running around all over the place. But Louisville made some changes on that offensive line. They moved some guys around, tackles to guard, brought in some new folks, and they're feeling good about that offensive line.
You know, both of them on two-game losing streaks. It kind of feels much like, in some respects, Virginia Tech Syracuse. This is one of those deals where the loser of this game, hey, that's a three-game skid. Yeah. Go figure it out. And, again, everybody's schedule's a little different in the second half. But Boston College, I'm still high on what they're doing with Jeff Hafley.
No, for sure.
You know, they pushed Clemson to the brink. They're basically a tie game against NC State. The thing got away from them in the second half, which they got to figure out. And for Louisville, they've had to absolutely sit on that fourth quarter against Virginia, in which you're up. Hey, you're cruising. You're up 17. Life's done. Yeah. The game's over. Catch you later. That thing gets away from them. Brendan Armstrong, to their credit, comes back, wins in the fourth quarter. So they've had to basically sit there for a week and a half, 2 weeks, thinking, man, a lot. Right. Can we just get back to playing the game again?
And that's what stinks, especially going into a bye week, having those type of feelings. And I'm with you with Boston College and Coach Hafley. Think he's tremendous, love what he's doing. But until proven otherwise this year, it's turning into a what-if season. What could have been with Phil Dracovic? And it stinks to see that, but big-time goal for BC this weekend, get Zay Flowers the football. He needs more touches. He's too special to just miss on a couple of post overthrows. You got to get him involved.
All right, should be another good one. NC State back on the road again. They're going to Miami. We mentioned it's been a while since the Pack's been down there to beautiful Hard Rock, see what's going on. But more than half of NC State's opponents' drives have ended in a three and out, just under 55%. And again, just one of three schools over 50% around the country. Georgia and Wisconsin are the other two. This defense, despite personnel losses, next man up, let's get it done. They're tough, they're fast, they're well-coached, and NC State's playing really good ball.
I foresee a lot of three and outs in Miami's future. I think this defense is really going to want to make a statement, take a stand, and you know, just further prove that they're one of the best in the country. Unfortunately, that's against the Canes this week, and I think this could turn into bully ball pack really easily.
I want to see Miami's want to in the first quarter.
Yeah, I mean, are not they, the second are, half. Right,
right. Right. Are you ready to play football from the get-go and try to change what's going on with a 2-4 start? We'll see. Final game is Georgia Tech on the road in Charlottesville at Virginia. Scott Stadium, traditionally been one of the toughest venues on Georgia Tech now. Jackets are 4-13-1 all-time at Virginia and have won just twice in their last 14 trips to Charlottesville.
That's shocking to see that, especially some of these great Georgia Tech teams of recent history. But when you look at this one, it's going to be a little bit of a different team rolling in here. You know, Virginia has not been able to stop a bloody nose running the ball this year. So you have to think that Sims is going to say, okay, I got this. Put it on my back, let's go. And, of course, with Jahmyr Gibbs, how special he is, that offensive attack. But Brennan Armstrong and company, they're going to sling it all over the yard, leading passer in the country. Not the ACC, the country. So this could be a high-scoring affair. We talk about that Cuse game being quick. That primetime game might take a long time. It's going to be a late night for me, Jordan, Coach and EJ.
That's right. You can handle it.
That's fine. That's what we do.
I've seen this midnight act before.
I work one day a week. Two with you today. Well, but, you know, other than that,
you'll be exhausted.
This isn't work.
You'll be absolutely exhausted, I can assure you. But if I'm Georgia Tech, man, best way to tell Brennan Armstrong you're not going to get the ball is not give him the ball.
That's right.
Just eat Hold up clock, right? Yeah, move change and go down the road. Yeah. But it should be a fun game. Virginia's always fun. And, of course, they're coming off a shutout of Duke last week.
Yeah.
So there you go, a little sample. One stat per game of every single team playing this weekend. Duke, North Carolina have bye week, so they'll get back to business next week. When we come back, though, we got to talk about, forget the offense, let's talk defense, right? We already talked
about. We got some of those.
Oh, we got some teams. We got some teams that'll put a hurting on you on that side of the ball. We'll go into it in greater detail. Eric McClain filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Ah, get ready. Tonight, 9 p.m., Kelsey and EJ hosting In Play. They're going to discuss the conference's hottest topics, have interviews with the legendary players and coaches, as well as an inside look at what it's like to be a student athlete. You can catch it right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. And remember, one app, one tap.
Did you write that? That was good.
I did not write it.
I think you did. One tap part is the best.
No, there's some marketing company made $1 million.
From New York, probably?
Making that down.
That was good.
One app, one tap. That's how we do it. All right, we talked about offenses in hour one. Let's give some love to the defenses.
Something positive, maybe. Yeah,
some positive.
That's good.
Because there's some dudes and some units in this league that are popping pads with attitude. All right, there's some serious teams that say, hey, you got the ball, that's cool. Because 3 plays from now, you're going to be over there grabbing some Gatorade, punting, because you're going nowhere on us. There's a couple, of course, that are no surprise, right? NC State has been out of sight. Clemson, out of sight when you look at the numbers. And we'll give it to you. NC State's 4th in the FBS at an 82.9 stop rate. That's just like,
what's a stop rate, Pack?
That means, hey, you give me the ball. You don't get it anymore. You get 3 plays, it's our ball. Catch you later, right? Clemson, on the other hand, 5th in the FBS, 82.4 stop rate. So you got 2 teams spot on, right? State, great experience. Clemson, despite the injuries, stayed 2. They've lost 3 starters.
Yeah.
And I think, to me, that is one of the things that's a tip of the hat to Dave Doran and Dabo Swinney, that number one, they've had those kind of units and they've had injuries, and it's not stopped them at all. They're just getting the job done.
Yeah, it's one thing to say next man up,
right? Sounds good.
But when you can do it, and when you can do it at an elite level, when you lose a guy like Peyton Wilson, who, you know, I thought defensive player of the year goes down to injury. When you lose a guy like Brian Brzee, another guy probably could have been defensive player of the year, and there's just another guy. And you don't quite know their name just yet, but they're learning and getting their time. Rukurororo has done an unbelievable job. Isaiah Moore and Drake Thomas have elevated their game immensely for both of these teams. And so I'm with you. It's fun to watch. And really, the top two defenses that we thought coming into this season, when you it's one thing to have the expectation, then to deliver, and those guys are doing a tremendous job.
Yeah, there's no question. But there's also another team in the ACC, and this is the one I think surprises people, because the ACC's got three teams that rank in the top 13 in this department. You'd guess State, you'd guess Clemson, but would you guess Pittsburgh?
Preseason, right? Yes. Based on what I've seen, probably not.
Right. But would you, I mean, you think of Kenny Pickett, you knew the offense had the chance to be spectacular, and they are. But here is the group that I think now makes Pittsburgh that danger team as far as Charlotte, ACC championship, and who knows, double-digit wins. I don't think it's out of reach. I still don't know how they lost to Western Michigan. but man alive, these guys will hit you in the next week. And as Dabo said in our interview, they're going to challenge you.
Yeah, and no real superstars, just really good players, guys that understand how to play team defense, team football. We have spoken about it a million times. Coach Mark Richt, that third down defense that they have, it's scary, Pack. I mean, they show you a million different things. They're going to bring blitzes from all over the yard and then have a stout defensive line that every year, it's just another group of guys that come in and really play well. So if Pittsburgh can keep this momentum and keep growing defensively, as we've seen these next couple of or last couple of weeks, man, sky's the limit. As you said, double-digit wins, championships, look out.
That game, and again, we're going to talk to Sean McDonough coming up in about 10 minutes. That game, to me, has the winner of that game, whoever it is, if it's Pittsburgh, I think this is the game the nation starts to pay attention to Pitt. And Kenny Pickett from a Heisman perspective, right? If he has one of those gangbuster all-world games. I know we just gave the one stat per game, and he's really struggled, and you said, that's irrelevant. New era, new team, new everything. But if Kenny Pickett has a monster day, and they put a ton of points on this Clemson defense, which has been really, really good, giving up 12.5 a game, I think it changes the Pitt narrative. And again, they're already getting enough respect from, hey, people finally realized in the AP that they're a top 25 team, which they finally got around to it. But I think this is the game for Pitt and for Kenny Pickett to go, all right, we're here. Let's go to here. And I think the flip side for Clemson, hey, if you're going to still stay in this conversation and saying, hey, we're going to go win a seventh straight ACC championship, it's a must win.
Yes.
And, you know, does the offense ever show up this year? Well, if tomorrow's the day, as Dabo said, yeah, we're not going to beat anybody scoring 17 tomorrow. You got to bring your A game. So I think it's kind of a pivotal day for both teams. And if somebody can have a huge day taking care of business, Clemson all of a sudden explodes and scores, you go, uh-oh, wait a minute.
Right.
Changes everything, right? Yeah. Whoa, timeout. And if Pitt and wins the game and Kenny Pickett goes off, whoa, big picture, right?
It'll be a massive launching point for either team.
Yep.
And even just not just college football, if Kenny goes out and has the type of performance I think he can, I mean, you're talking about so much money. You're talking about going against a defense that historically is one of the best every year, and if you can just march down the field and do what you want, NFL guys, you're going to get all kinds of attention. EJ Manuel has said many times, this is a life-changing type of game. The opportunity that is in front of you, when he played Clemson his senior year, did work. That's how he got into the first round. That's how he got to the Senior Bowl, then dominated, then got into the first round of the NFL draft. So I think a real opportunity for both, that the winner of this game is going to have unreal momentum moving forward. And if you're Clemson, man, you're right behind NC State, right behind Wake Forest, breathing down their neck, waiting for them to lose. And that's a beast behind you. That's a big monster waiting. And that pressure, you'll feel it.
Not to mention NC State and Wake have to play each other.
Exactly.
And there's going to be every week you realize, hey, we got to hold serve here because guess who is behind it. So it's a huge game tomorrow. And we'll talk to Sean McDonough. We'll also take some phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Let's go to Syracuse where Scott has been holding patiently this morning. Scott, how are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? One quick stat. You guys are talking stats right now. They asked a question about Syracuse. But I know you guys watch a lot of football, Mac for the Huddle and Pack. Still got that feeling that you're talking about you're in your skivvies and in your den watching games all day. Can't get that.
Hey, wait. Scott, people are having breakfast this morning. Don't make them sick.
Exactly. But do you ever notice the incomplete pass on first down? Most teams run on second down, and then they put their quarterbacks in harm's way in third down. It's amazing. If you took a stat, how many times a team does it? It's got to be in the 70% range. And to me, if you're a defensive coordinator, just put 8 men in the box on 2nd and 10. So that's one stat I keep looking at, and I think that hurts some of the offenses. But watching Syracuse this year, it's almost like Groundhog Day. The last four games, last play of the game, and we can't bet New York State teams in New York, so we traveled down to Indiana to put the over 3 in the Syracuse for the season. So we've been waiting on the fourth win, and we kind of wonder if this is going to be the fourth win this week against Virginia Tech.
All right. I appreciate you watching. Again, I'm still trying to get that thought out of my mind. It's involving me. Syracuse. What do you think?
I think so. I think to answer his question, yeah, absolutely. I think there's a really good opportunity for you to get that illustrious fourth win. And, you know, when you look at this team, the way that they're playing, it does feel like Groundhog Day. But I think you should feel good. I think you should feel confident about your team. We've seen immense strides in effort and execution. It's just coming up a little bit short. But the future is bright. The young core nucleus that this team has – offensively and defensively, I don't want to just discredit this year and say get ready for next season, but next year is going to be a lot of fun.
I'll just say this regarding Syracuse. And yeah, I know wins matter, right? It's all about it. You got to win games. I get it. But when you watch this year's team versus where they were a year ago.
Yeah. Or 2 years ago.
Or even 2 years ago. Yeah. I mean, this was a really important year for Dino to bounce back. I don't think nobody can argue that this team isn't much improved from a year ago.
And fun to watch.
No question. I mean, listen, Sean Tucker's turned into a guy.
Yeah, must-see TV.
He's awesome.
Yes.
And defensively, they've been rock solid. They've just fallen short in tight games. But Syracuse is light years ahead of where they were a year ago. And to me, that's coaching and a team that says, hey, listen, we're better than this. Absolutely. Let's go get after it.
Absolutely.
All right, one more quick call for the break before you have Sean come in here. I got Troy in Virginia up next. Troy, good morning. How are you?
This is not Troy. Woo! This is Charlie.
Oh, Charlie, go right ahead. I apologize.
That's okay. I guess the guy got the wrong name. But I tell you right
That's
now,
right.
It's going to take Clemson to the woodshed. I tell you, I don't think that whoever has the quarterback is ticket way over the guy they got playing at Clemson, and other quarterbacks around the country are not in the same bracket as Pickett is. And the other guys are getting the second and third stringers playing, and Pickett's still the first guy. And I tell you, I don't think Clemson has a chance against this team at all, defense and offense.
Woodshed, he's calling it.
Come on, let's see it.
Well, here would be a concern if I'm a Clemson guy. And by the way, I am an alum.
You are?
I am that.
I didn't know that.
Here's the deal.
Wait, they let two Clemson Tigers do the show?
Maybe the last.
Look out.
Till Friday.
Now that we told them.
Yeah, now we go to South Bend together next week. And I just found out we're on the same flight.
Come on.
Now we really got problems. Bottom line is, though, you can't show up with 17 in your back pocket.
No.
That is not going to be good enough. I don't care how good the defense is.
Correct.
You're not holding Kenny Pickett to 12 points.
Yeah, and I'll agree with what he said. I mean, Kenny Pickett, one of the best in the country, but let's not pretend that Clemson's not the best defense that this team has remotely seen. So it is still that prove-it mentality. It was that against Georgia Tech, lit them up. We knew that was going to happen. Then we said, okay, Virginia Tech's the best defense they've played so far. Check that box. It wasn't as pretty. It was windy. You're on the road, a lot of different things, but you've got a convincing win. Now it's the next test, and I think the biggest of the season, go do it. Go prove it.
You know, I just said this regarding Georgia Tech and Virginia. You know, the cool thing, hey, Brendan Armstrong, the best way to beat you is to make sure you're not on the field.
Right.
Clemson, same deal tomorrow. Hey, Kenny Pickett, you're great.
I mean, that would be fantastic if they can do that.
But here's the problem. Do you trust Clemson to be able to go on sustained 80-yard drives and eat up 7 minutes?
No.
They haven't proven it.
No, and not at all. And that's the thing. It's not, you know, people's, why are you being so negative? It's just a fact. It's called reality. Not being negative. That's right.
It's called, here's what my eyes tell me.
Exactly.
Now, again, are they capable of scoring 30-something? They capable?
Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Can they? Haven't seen it yet.
Right.
We'll see.
No question.
Quick break. Come back. Sean McDonough is coming up next. He will have the call from Pittsburgh. Should be a really, really fascinating matchup. We've talked about it, but Sean breaks it down for us even further. All that's coming up. We'll take more of your phone calls, too, at 844-SAY-ACCN. Eric McClain filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Every Saturday, the huddle. You've seen these guys, Jordan Cornette, Eric McClain sitting right beside me, EJ Manuel, Mark Rick, the coach. They get you ready for ACC football. They'll preview the slate of games. They'll keep you updated on all things ACC football. That is 10 a.m. Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. They'll go till midnight, too, I guarantee you. At least.
At least. That's a good way to put that.
At least midnight. All right. Our next guest is front and center from Pittsburgh because he's got Pitt and Clemson should be a good one. Legendary voice. Sean McDonough is back with us here on Packer and Durham. Sean, first of all, we appreciate the time as always. I hope life's treating you well. It's October. It's week 8 of college football. We got baseball playoffs going on. It's really kind of a magical time of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's probably the best time of the year if you're a sports fan. It's been a busy time for me because I've been doing the hockey, which we started on ESPN a couple of weeks ago. And thankfully, the Red Sox are still playing. We hope that's still true tomorrow. And I've been doing some of their games on their radio network and obviously doing a football game every Saturday. So with the last 2 weeks, I've had football, baseball, and hockey all in the same week. So it's a busy time, but a fun time, an exciting time. And I think this is going to be a terrific game here in Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Living the dream, no question about it, and a fantastic game. I mean, this matchup, it's interesting when you look at the last couple of games, and people have discussed, okay, Kenny Pickett against the Tigers, it just hasn't worked out. I'm under the impression, throw all of that out the window. This is a different team, a different offense, and a different Kenny Pickett.
I agree with that, and I'm sure the Pittsburgh people agree with that. I mean, Kenny Pickett's definitely different. He's definitely better. He's more experienced. I think the scary thing is, you know, they really disrupted him, Clemson did, last year. I believe they picked off 3 of his first 9 passes. We did that game. It was 31-0 in favor of Clemson at the end of the first quarter. It was a Clemson record for points in a first quarter. So it was a disaster. The history in 2 games actually is not very good for Kenny against this team. And I think the scary thing for him is that when we talked with Dabo earlier in the week, he thinks that this Clemson team is better on defense than it was last year. They've played great defense, as you guys know. I mean, they're second in the country in scoring defense behind only Georgia, the number one team in the country. So it's a really good Clemson defense, but I do think Kenny Pickett is a lot better, and he's got a very experienced, talented group around him. So that's definitely the matchup. The Pitt offense, number 2 in the country in scoring offense behind only Ohio State, against the Clemson defense, which is number 2, as we just said, in scoring defense. So it's going to be fun and
Sean, interesting. Sean, it seems like it's kind of a defining moment time for both teams, doesn't it? I mean, for Pitt, they finally get some love in the AP poll. I don't know what took so long, but they're in it. Great, whatever. College football playoff committee poll will come out in 2 weeks. But this is the moment, right? It just feels like for Pittsburgh, from a national perspective, if they can have a huge offensive day against a really good defensive team, people around the country will pay attention. And even for Kenny Pickett individually, from a Heisman perspective, not that he's worried about that, now you get in the conversation. I mean, you're 21 touchdowns, 1 pick, a high-flying offense. If you can do something against a Clemson D, seems like it's the moment for Pitt, and I think the same thing for Clemson. Hey, you know what? It's been a kind of a downer for them based on their standard, but if they win this game, all of a sudden, especially if the offense shows up, maybe all of a sudden you get a different perspective of, hey, you know what? Don't put dirt on these guys yet. They'll be 5-2. Seems like we've reached that point of the season for both these teams.
Yeah, I agree with all of what you just said. You know, it seems like every time we've come to Pitt here in the last few years or done a Pitt game on the road, that's always been the conversation. You know, they win a lot of games since Pat Narduzzi's been here. They are the third winningest team in conference play in terms of total wins. Only Clemson and Miami have more wins within the ACC than Pitt since 2015. But, you know, they seem to be lacking that one real signature marquee win that kind of takes the perception of their program within the conference and around the country to a different level. So here's another chance for it. And they're actually going to be the favorite. You know, to me, that's another interesting thing. It's been 43 ACC games in a row that Clemson's been the favorite. So this is unusual territory. Great opportunity for him to help his Heisman candidacy, talking about Pickett. You know, our people have done some research, and his numbers are actually quite similar at this time of the year to Joe Burrow's a couple of years ago when he won the Heisman Trophy and had maybe the greatest season ever by a quarterback. They're not quite as good, but they're remarkably close in a lot of areas. So this is a great opportunity for him against a great defense. And, you know, Pack, Dabo agrees with you. You know, when we talked to him the other day, he's frustrated, obviously, that they're 4-2. That's different for them. But it's a couple of one-score losses, overtime loss to a ranked NC State team. And really, they played Georgia a 3-3 tie. The, you know, the defense scored a touchdown for Georgia. So, you know, they feel like, you know, that was a winnable game, too. So it's not as bad as it looks, although the offense has really struggled. But, you know, Dabo said to us yesterday, keeps a sign on his desk. He actually showed it to us. It said the most meaningless thing, and I'm paraphrasing, is the halftime score. And that's the way he looks at this season. They're only at the half. Long way to go. And, you know, they'd have to win out to get in any kind of national conversation. But obviously another ACC title is a possibility. And who knows what might shake out nationally the rest of the way.
Sean, I have heard that phrase a million times in my playing career, as you might imagine. We've talked about that offense. We've been discussing poor offensive play, you know, really a lot this morning with Virginia Tech and with Clemson. Specifically looking at the Tigers, where is their head at? I mean, do they believe, okay, this could be the game, this could be the moment? I've heard this staff saying a lot, we're feeling more confident. We think it's close. We think it's almost there. Is this attainable in this season, or is it an after fact where you get to spring and fall camp for next year?
No, I think it's attainable. You know, a lot of coaches we talk to always talk about that they're this close or they're making progress, and this might be the week it comes together. But, you know, when you watch the tape and, you know, watching some of these highlights, that there's a great example of it just there. They've dropped a lot of passes. You know, that has been a big problem on offense. You know, with Tony Elliott, the offense coordinator, told us, they've probably averaged about 4, 5, 6 drop passes a week. DJ has also missed some open receivers, but he's cut down on the number of missed throws of guys who are wide open. And they've had a revolving door at the offensive line due to injuries. You know, I think the biggest thing that happened to them was they played Georgia in the first game, and, you know, DJ wasn't very good, which can happen. You know, we've seen Georgia in person. That might be the best college defense I've ever seen. They can make you antsy and skittish and a little jittery in the pocket. And, you know, it took him a while, I think, to kind of recover from that. But he looks like he's better the last 2 weeks. The offensive line's getting healthy. You know, they have guys like Ross who they think will start to catch the ball more consistently. So I do think it's attainable. It'll be an interesting matchup here because Clemson hasn't had many big plays. The overthrows and drops have had a lot to do with that. But it's a Pitt defense that, you know, is really good. But they, the way they play, as you guys know, they give you a chance for some big plays. They're going to play a lot of man-to-man coverage and make you win those one-on-one battles on the outside. And Clemson thinks they might be able to do that.
Sean, that's where I was going to go with you. I've normally found that when there's hype of, hey, the best offense against the best defense, here's the showdown, it's normally like a magic trick. It's misdirection. It's normally, no, that's not the story. The story is going to be somebody else. And to me,
right,
Pittsburgh's defense can be Jekyll and Hyde, right? Like last week, they did a great job totally stuffing a Virginia Tech team that has struggled offensively. But they've also had weekends where they're giving up 40-something to Western Michigan and losing at home. And you go, man, they're too talented to be giving up those kind of yards and numbers. When they're on, man, they are really good because, like you said, they're going to get in your face and pressure you. Dabo even said yesterday, they are going to challenge you. Now, how you handle it is up to you. But I have a funny feeling that Pittsburgh's defense will be kind of the story tomorrow in the sense of, hey, Clemson's offense finally exploded. Or guess what? Pitts D just put the Heisman on him, and Kenny Pickett goes off at some point in time.
Yeah, I think you're right. A lot of times when it's that matchup, as you said, the high-scoring Pitt offense and the terrific Clemson defense, it turns out to be the other side of the ball that really decides it, and that could be the case. You know, Clemson's trying all year long to find big plays, explosive plays. This is a defense that might give them a chance to do that, but it's also a talented enough defense that they could completely smother them too. So I think you're right, Pack. That could be the game. You know, if Clemson can finally make some big plays against the Pitt defense that is a little feast or famine. You know, I think that's, to your earlier point about it took Pitt a long time to get into the top 25, I do think that a lot of the pollsters were probably looking at that Western Michigan game and saying, wait a minute, you know, that's not the result of a top 25 team. And then, you know, the schedule was a little light too. You're talking about UMass and New Hampshire. I think the win at Tennessee looks a lot better now, and you see that Tennessee's better now than they were at the beginning of the year. You know, they have a good team. I wouldn't be surprised if they give Alabama a little bit of a tough time on Saturday night.
Sean, most important question of the interview here. You guys are in Pittsburgh. Great food all over the place. What's on the menu tonight?
Well, we leave that up to Mr. Food, as I like to call him, Todd Blackledge, right. As you know. The unfortunate thing with COVID protocols is that our dining experiences are greatly hampered, which is a shame. There's a wonderful place called Serafino's that unfortunately had a water main break. I think Pat Narduzzi, you know, you would send us there. And Pat's a guy who, you know, knows the town obviously very well and probably has a good taste for Italian food in particular, given his heritage. But no, it's a good restaurant town. Todd is doing his taste of the town. I think it's called Pittsburgh Pierogies. And he was already there yesterday. Todd takes that taste of the town thing very seriously, as you might expect. And he goes over there the day before the shooting, kind of to do the get the lay of the land, do a little advanced scouting, and talk to the people about how it's going to go. But I love Pittsburgh. I come here a lot. I have a dear friend of mine, Kurt Coulter, who's the 7-time club champ at Oakmont, which is one of the great golf courses in the world. And he's nice enough to invite me out here every other year or so to be his partner and their big member guest, which is shocking given how poorly I play that he continues to invite me back. But we have a lot of fun. We were in our flight this year with Joe Buck and Mark Bulger. Mark Bulger was the member. And I said to Kurt, if we do nothing else, we need to beat Bulger and Buck, which we did. And
go.
We did nothing else. We did nothing else but beat them. So, but this is a great place. You know, it's such a great football town, as you guys know. And as we've been talking about, really big game for both teams. But I think particularly for Pitt to, you know, get that win. You know, Pat Narduzzi's done a really solid job here. But, you know, a win like this, I think, kind of changes the narrative about their program.
I tell you what, bragging rights over Buck, man. You can't put a price tag on that. Guarantee you.
Well, he's a better golfer than I am, to give him credit. But, you know, it's a 9-hole match. Yeah, we got the dub. But and my partner's, as I said, he's a 7-time club champ at maybe the hardest course in America. So he's a really good player. I just usually say, hey, Kurt, you know, can I get you anything at the hut over there? Or
I give you a line to read right here.
Yeah, stuff like that. You know, tell a story, try to make them laugh a little bit. But we played here one time. It was right after they had the U.S. Open, and over par won the U.S. Open. And we played a 9-hole match on the back nine, and Kurt shot 30 on the back nine at Oakmont.
Well, hey,
I made a 4-for-3 on 18, right, which is a hard hole. And I'm like, I'm gonna help him on one hole in this match, and then he drops like a 30 footer to shoot 30. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna help him, but
that counts. All I know is it's scoreboard on Buck. That's all, right. I know.
That's right.
Cut to the chase. It's all about scoreboard.
I saw him the other night at Fenway. It will come up again from time to time.
I love it. Well, listen,
but I think Joe's doing all right for himself. Joe's okay. I think he's everything fine. That's happening in he's Joe's fine. Life, he probably doesn't dwell on that loss too much.
Well, you know, as long as he reached in his pocket and paid off his debt, that's all it's about, man. Just make sure you pay off your bets going down the road.
That's right.
Hey, have a great broadcast.
Betting is not allowed at Oakmont or Bushland,
slept. Oh, yeah, right. Wink. We got that going on. All right, hey, have a great broadcast tomorrow. It should be a tremendous game. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Sean McDonough, Pittsburgh and Clemson tomorrow, 3:30. Get that all over you.
I look forward to that plus one invite to the best course in America.
To Oakmont, that would be nice. Yeah.
Hey, Sean, if you're still watching, man.
Dude, I mean,
I'm not good, but I'm fun to play
with. You just Quail Hollow yesterday, Oakmont tomorrow.
There. Yeah, it's fine.
South Bend on the golf cart next Friday. Be good to go. We come back, in case you missed it, John Curry, Director of Athletics at Wake Forest, joined us yesterday. You'll get that. We'll take more phone calls. 844-SAY-ACCN. Just scratching the surface. Big football weekend in the ACC, and we are covered. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. And of course, you got us on SiriusXM, Channel 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Here is our college football lineup for Saturday right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Florida State getting a big W. They host UMass in Tallahassee. That starts us off at noon. Then 4-1, BC. Actually, they're 4-2, right? Two in a row. They got Malik Cunningham. Good luck with that. It's going to be a fun football game. BC and Louisville, get that all over you. Then we're going to bounce back, man, and get you ready for primetime. Georgia Tech. Wahoo Wah, brought to you by Geico. Brennan Armstrong and the Cavs, Georgia Tech, wide open. Could be a ton of points. Primetime game, which means it runs late, which means the huddle goes till 2 a.m. That's what it all means.
Shout out, JC. Let's get it, baby.
Triple header for you right here on ACC Network tomorrow. All right, yesterday, in case you missed it, John Curry, Director of Athletics at Wake Forest, joined us. And we just told him, man, you got some kind of game this weekend. Great road trip. Wake Forest going to Army. West Point should be awesome. Check it out.
We're very excited and very honored. It's an honor to play at West Point. Mike Buddy's the athletics director there. He's a classmate of mine. I played for the Yankees. Great leader. And I was talking to Coach Clawson on the way in this morning. This game has his full attention. Obviously, they have an extraordinary head coach, defensive coordinator. They've done a great job. You saw how close they played Wisconsin last week. It'll be a very, very challenging game for the Demon Deacons.
Yeah, Jeff Munkin's done a fabulous job. And, you know, that bye comes at really the terrific time. Number one, right in the middle of the season. Number two, it really does give you, number one, a chance to get healed up. And number two, just the prep work necessary. I know that Dave's worked on it in the spring, fall camp. You got to do a little bit of that when you take on the Service Academy and that style that Jeff Munkin has. So I think it's an intriguing game. And you know, the other thing too, John, and we saw it last night. Here we go again in college football this year. Ranked teams losing. And I don't want to bring a negative vibe to this, but it is a reminder that, hey, if you got a number beside your name, man, there's a target on your chest this year. Now, 48 ranked teams have lost this year in the AP poll. And I know the Deacons are going up there going, hey, man, we're going to put that to bed. We're going to win this thing and move on. But, man, alive, it has been a crazy upside-down year. So what does it feel like as we sit here now mid to late October in Winston-Salem and you take a look at the standings? I know it's not the finish line, but, man, you just get a sense of, hey, we are sticking our nose in everybody's business, and we really do have a great chance to get to Charlotte to play for a championship.
Well, I can assure you that getting to Charlotte is the least of anybody's thoughts in the football office in Sutton Sports Performance Center this morning. They're completely focused on this game. But it's actually very interesting that you say it, Pac. You know, our next four games, the way it works out, even though we're 4-0 in the conference, our next four games, only two of them are conference games. And so we step out of conference and out of the conference race this week to play Army. Next week against Duke is a game that does – matter in terms of getting to Charlotte or not. Obviously, we want to win every game. The North Carolina game in 3 weeks in Chapel Hill is huge for lots of reasons. But, you know, this is one of the non-conference games that Ron Wellman and Bubba Cunningham scheduled a couple years ago, which I think was a great move by both of them. So now, with that stretch, Duke, North Carolina, and NC State, three games in a row, you know, for guys like the three of us who grew up around here, you know what that means. That's the Big Four championship. And, you know, going back, I remember when Mack Brown came to Chapel Hill. I remember him talking to Woody. Wes, you remember what he used to say? Woody, we got to win the state championship before we can win the conference championship, right?
That's it.
And so Mack Brown used to talk about that. That's really important. So this stretch right now, the next four games, you know, obviously starting with this weekend against Army and then two games in Winston-Salem and one game at Chapel Hill, it's great. Now, for the Demon Deacon Nation, it's great for the state of North Carolina, and it's great for Winston-Salem.
John, this comes in a season that your coach talked about in the summer to Mark and I. We've referred to it dozens of times as being potentially the most exciting and the most competitive college football season we've seen in a while. For a school like Wake Forest, one of the smaller FBS enrollments, certainly one of the smallest Power 5 enrollments, what do we glean from this from an administrative side, though? What are you seeing here that makes this different? Is it the super seniors, which Wake has several of? Is it the transfer portal, combination of both?
Well, it's really a lot of different things, Wes. But, you know, seasons like this, you know, Dave Clawson is in his eighth year at Wake Forest. And if you look back at Wake Forest histories, we've had some great moments over time. And if you look at this century, Wake Forest is 44-20 against the schools in the state of North Carolina. We're 30-20 against the other Big Four schools. But the success that Dave Clawson has brought to Wake Forest, certainly he is the key to all of that, and he is the engine, so to speak, and the mastermind behind it. But there's also been a really significant investment in football at Wake Forest over the last 8 years. If you think about the Sutton Sports Performance Center, the incredible things Bob McCrary, who himself came to Wake Forest on a football scholarship 60 years ago, all those things, Dr. Hatch's leadership, our new president, Dr. Susan Winty, has been extraordinary in her leadership, our board of trustees. Altogether, it's worked to put Wake Forest in a position where we not only have a program that can have a special year, and we've had a special first half of the year, but is also a program that can be a consistent winner and be a sustainable program. And with the facilities, the support, the incredible faculty we have, all those kind of things add together. You know, it's lost on a lot of folks that we've had about 80% of our students each game, or for two of our four games, 80% of our students have been in the game. How many schools in the country, other than maybe the Service Academy, have 80% of its student body all on site at the football game at the same time? It's a pretty incredible combination of factors that is propelling our program forward.
John, you know what, though? As somebody who grew up in Winston-Salem, and Wake's been close to our family, needless to say, since dirt, there's always been the great balance, though, between academics and athletics. And it's one of the things I've always loved about Wake Forest, that, hey, no matter how crazy life is in the college landscape, Wake Forest always has an understanding of, hey, here's the big picture. And we're sitting here talking about a team ranked 16th in football. We're getting ready to get started in a hoop season. Your Olympic sports are doing great. You know, what you're doing in the classroom, quite frankly, is even more important than all of this. That 96% graduation rate, you know, you can't just go ahead and say, oh, yeah, that's a given. You know, that's something that needs to be bragged upon. To me, it's one of the things that separates the ACC from everybody else. The balance of athletics and academics is important, and it's a mainstay in this conference.
There's no question. But it's not a hindrance to success. Our coaches at Wake Forest, whether Dave Clawson or Kim Llewellyn or Bobby Muse or Tony DeLuise, they all use that as an accelerator towards success.
This guy, Wake's got a good man running the show there. Wake Forest this weekend on the road at Army. We will get into every single game as we get ready for the Power Hour. Pat Bostic will join us as well. Take your phone calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. Got Eric McClain. He's filling in for old West Durham. Guess what, boys and girls? One more hour to go. We get you ready for a big football weekend in the ACC, and it's coming up next right here. Packer and Durham on ACC Network. Got us on SiriusXM 371 as well.
Packer and Durham.